Welcome to the special Intention into Action podcast. In these podcasts, Dr. Robert Glover, the author of No More Mr. Nice Guy, presents special topics for recovering nice guys. Codependent relationships are a major hurdle in achieving success for nice guys. In part 5 of this 7-part Intention into Action podcast series, Dr. Glover discusses strategies for breaking free from the codependent relationships by building support systems, learning to say no, and becoming a good ender. Now here is Dr. Glover.
As we've talked about in previous podcasts, most nice guys have a huge fear of success. But this actually makes sense based on the early life experiences of most nice guys, because it includes their beliefs about themselves, i.e. they don't believe they deserve good things to happen, and their beliefs about the world, which usually include good things happen to other people, but not to them. And as we've talked about in previous podcasts, a fear of success represents a paradoxical truth, because it makes sense not to apply skills that would lead to success if the fruits of your success makes your life worse than it is right now. So, for example, if succeeding with your dating skills means you would end up with a psycho bitch from hell who will torment you and destroy your life, it makes sense not to apply skills that would lead to that kind of success. Or, if succeeding at work leads to promotions or more responsibility, and that puts you into situations you aren't prepared to handle, or if they find out you're not as smart or as talented as they think you are, it makes sense not to apply skills that would lead to that kind of success. In previous podcasts, we presented key strategies to help you begin confronting your fear of success. These have included challenging your irrational beliefs, leaning into your fears and facing them head on, developing a daily gratitude practice, practicing receiving and letting people give to you, and practicing giving to yourself, learning how to celebrate your successes, even the smallest of successes, letting go of envy and resentment, and every day having a life that lives an adventure. So in this podcast, let's continue to look at some key strategies for confronting and overcoming your fears of success. And as we do this, keep your notebook or your journal nearby and keep reviewing it and adding to it as new insights or awarenesses come up for you. So let's jump in. So work on your codependency. Now, nice guy syndrome is fundamentally codependency. It's an anxiety-based disorder. It's about trying to manage your anxiety by controlling other people and the situations around you. Now, believe it or not, the people you love the most and who love you might be the biggest barrier to you getting what you want in life. Now, this is true for a number of reasons. One is that most nice guys grew up in families in which there was a lot of emotional fusion, and then they grow up to form emotionally fused relationships with other people as adults. Now, in an emotionally fused relationship, you are supposed to be there to take care of the needs of other people. That's your job. You belong to them. So going after what you want might feel threatening to people. You also might feel neurotic guilt about making yourself a priority rather than putting everybody else first. You might feel neurotic guilt if you aren't as available to be used by these people as they're used to you being there. Also, caretaking and fixing other people's problems takes a lot of time and energy. In fact, just for a moment, just think about at work or in life, how many situations you and how much time you spend taking care of other people, their problems, and their situations, and how much time that takes up getting in the way of you taking care of things you could be taking care of your own. Caretaking and fixing other people's problems creates a major distraction and diverts your attention away from things you need to be working on. Now, if you also think about it, it's much less frightening focusing on helping other people solve their problems and get their needs met than it is you venturing out into the unknown and challenging yourself. Also, if you're in a codependent relationship or multiple codependent relationships, you might be getting lots of value and external validation by taking care of other people. And it can be kind of scary to let go of that and start focusing on the things you need to get done. Now, I often refer to our codependent relationships as hanging out in the nursery. That's because when you're hanging out in codependent relationships, you're not really challenged. You're not out there growing. You're not out there taking care of real issues in life. You're just hanging out with people who have problems and you're helping them solve their problems and they're validating you because you're supposedly a nice guy. So one of the things you have to do to experience success in life is that you've got to get out of the nursery. So begin by observing where you're caretaking and sacrificing yourself for other people. Consciously start working on your codependent relationships. And as you do so, it's going to give you opportunity and practice in soothing your neurotic guilt and anxiety. That guilt and anxiety that comes up when you believe that you should be there helping other people solve their problems, or that you'll be resented or sabotaged if you succeed. Okay? This is one of those processes that often involves taking lots of little baby steps. So begin by identifying the ways that you are taking care of other people. And then start challenging your belief that these people are incapable of solving their own problems and that they somehow need you to do it for them. And then, once again, soothe your neurotic guilt that you're doing something wrong if you start making your needs a priority. My definition of maturity is the ability to take full responsibility for getting your own needs met. Challenging your codependency not only helps you move towards success in life, it also helps you grow up. Next, start working on building support systems. Most nice guys try to do most things themselves and often go it alone. And I know I'm guilty of that. And that's been one of the biggest challenges in my own life in living up to my potential. I've had to learn to start asking people to help me. I've had to learn how to hire people. And I've had to learn how to fire people. And I've had to learn how to delegate. So those are often really challenging aspects for nice guys. Most nice guys are not good at asking for help or building cooperative relationships. So to succeed in life, you have to surround yourself with like-minded people. Find people who are accomplishing or who have accomplished the same thing or the same kind of things that you're wanting to accomplish. Don't try to succeed in isolation. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. So if you want to get into good shape, odds are you'll have more success if you go to the gym where you're around other people who are focusing on the same kind of things that you're wanting to focus on, rather than staying at home and doing a treadmill in your basement. If you want to get good at riding a bike, join a bike club. Join in and become part of that team as guys work together to have a joint success as a team. If you want to learn how to save and invest money, don't try to do it by yourself. Join an investment club. Be around other people who are already doing what you want to do and hopefully already having some success at what you want to do. If you want to learn how to go out and meet women and pick up women, don't try to do it by yourself. Find a guy who already knows how to do it, who's having success at meeting women, and the two of you go out as a wingman, so go work together. Instead of trying to do your own physical fitness program, hire a coach, a trainer, a mentor. But whatever you do, find people who are already doing what it is that you want to do, and then connect with them, network with them, spend time with them. So surround yourself with good people who are already doing what you want, but do it before you actually need them. For example, if you know you're going to need a CPA, if you know you're going to need somebody to help you with technical things, already before you need it, start looking for those kind of people. So surround yourself with people who are already doing what it is you want to do, and surround yourself with people who are good helpers before you actually even need their help. And as I said, I've been learning to network with other people who are doing similar things as I am or things that I want to be doing. And I found that most people are happy to share what they know. They're happy to help you succeed if you'll ask. When I was writing No More Mr. Nice Guy and exploring what it took to get a book published, I started asking people to lunch who had already published a book, whether it be self-publishing or publishing through a publisher. I started contacting agents. I would contact people who knew of agents and editors. I didn't try to go it alone. I started associating with people who had already accomplished what I'd already accomplished. You have to do the same on your road to success. Another essential tool to help you live up to your potential and have success in life is learning to say no. And maybe this is one of the most important ones. Saying no is so difficult, so uncomfortable for nice guys. One of the greatest fears nice guys have of success is that they'll lose control over their lives because they don't know how to say no. They're afraid that everybody else will put demands on them, take control, hook up a hose to them. And because they're so afraid of saying no, they're afraid of those outcomes. And it makes sense to be afraid of those outcomes if you can't say no. When I talk with nice guys about their fear of success, the thing that most often comes up is that they will lose the ability to do what they want when they want. That they'll lose the ability to do the routines that are important to them. And these are valid concerns. And again, it comes back to they don't know that they can say no. So, as we've posed before, why would you want to be successful if everyone will want a piece of you or of what you've got, or you lose control over your life because you can't say no? One of the mantras that I often work with nice guys around is that successful people say no. A few years ago, a client that I was working with is working for a prominent tech company, and he said he was working all the time. He was working late, working weekends, taking work home with him, and it was not only affecting his life in general, but it was affecting his relationship with his wife. And I asked him to show me his schedule on his PDA, and he showed me. And this guy had 4 or 5 meetings scheduled every day. Now, these were half-hour meetings various times throughout the day, all over a fairly large campus of this company. And this guy, every time somebody called him or emailed him or texted him with a meeting request, he always went and did it. After looking at his daily schedule, I asked my client what his goals were at the company. And he told me he wanted to be at least a general manager, perhaps vice president of the company someday. And I said, okay, here's your assignment from here on out. Keep repeating the mantra, vice presidents say no. And I want you to start denying meeting requests. Start saying no when people request that you come to a meeting. Start clearing your schedule up so you can get done the work that you need to get done. And I reminded him, vice presidents don't say yes to every meeting. They're selective with their time. So keep repeating, vice presidents say no. Well, he started doing that. He started applying it. And he started having a lot of success at work. He started getting promotions. And in less than 2 years, he was promoted to be the personal speechwriter of the CEO of that company and spent 2 years flying around in his private jet writing his speeches and presentations. And then when he left that position, he actually took a job of a general manager, which had been his goal all along. So him learning to say no was actually a key element in his success. So practice saying no to things that you don't want to do or that will get in the way of you staying focused. And as you do that, you're going to have to soothe your anxiety, soothe your neurotic guilt that you're doing something wrong by telling people no. So practice it. One day this week, at work, at home, say no to at least 3 legitimate requests that people give to you. And soothe your anxiety that you're doing something wrong or that people will get mad at you. And then start practicing that in your general life. Start saying no to things that don't move you in the direction you want to go, or saying no to things that you don't want to do. And finally, one of the key strategies for attaining the success you want in life is learning how to become a good ender. Successful people know when to walk away. If you stay too long in a bad relationship, it delays the opportunity to find a good one. If you stay too long at a bad job, it delays the opportunity to find a better one. In order to succeed, you have to face your fears and walk away from situations that have no hope of changing. In order to consistently do what works over time, you have to know that you can get out of situations that don't work for you. When I got divorced about 9 years ago and became a single guy for the first time in 25 years, and I hadn't dated since college, and I didn't do it very well back then, I realized two things. As I started dating, number one, I had to become a better picker. I had to pick a better quality of woman, mainly in terms of women that fit well what I wanted to match my lifestyle. But even more importantly, I had to become a better ender. And I think this is actually more important because being a good ender can erase a multitude of sins if you're a bad picker. So becoming a good ender is essential for gaining the success you want in life. Now, I've found in working with thousands of people and looking at my own life, it seems pretty universal to fear ending things. Most nice guys don't trust themselves. They're afraid they'll be making a mistake. They're doing something wrong. And the bottom line is, the devil they know is better than the devil they don't. Most of us fear change in the unknown. Another problem that gets in the way, believe it or not, is hope. I came across a quote one time and I actually wrote it down and have kept it in a place where I can see it. And it basically says this: hope keeps all suffering in place. Now, that may seem a little paradoxical to you because I think culturally we value hope quite highly. But there's a difference between neurotic hope and healthy hope. A healthy hope is based on progress in action. So, for example, if you're in a relationship with somebody that is an alcoholic, and this person has addressed their issues, they're going to meetings, they're working on their recovery, and even if they have occasional relapse or slip, you can have hope that they're moving in a direction of sobriety and that you can trust in that. Now, that's healthy hope. Neurotic hope is based on wishes that have no basis in present reality. So, for example, if you're in a relationship with an alcoholic and they just kept drinking to excess, didn't see that they had a problem, thought that you had the problem for focusing on their drinking, and thought that everything they did was normal and okay, but yet you had a hope that they would someday quit drinking and get sober, that's neurotic hope. That's the kind of hope that keeps all suffering in place. So, evaluate if you're in a situation that you've been hoping will change. Ask yourself if your hope is healthy or neurotic. Ask yourself if the core issue is that you don't want to have to do anything different or end the situation that you're in, that you're just hoping it will change without you having to change. Knowing you can remove yourself from any situation that is less than ideal is essential for you to risk applying skills that lead to success. As we've asked, why apply these skills if they lead to a situation that makes your life worse than it is now? And if you don't know that you can remove yourself and start over, why would you ever get in? Every day gives you an opportunity to practice being a good ender. So think of some areas in your life right now that you need to remove yourself from. And then ask yourself the question, if I had no fear of the outcome, what would I do? Okay, well, let's kind of finish up this podcast by looking at an example of the formula that we've been talking about in the previous podcast, and an example of how to apply these principles to a situation in life that your fear of an outcome might lead to you taking no action because of the outcome of that success would bring to your life, and then how to deal with those situations if indeed they did happen to you. So, for example, if succeeding with your dating skills means that you end up in a relationship, and some of the things that I've written down that many nice guys fear is maybe she smothers you or you feel trapped, or maybe she's a moody or angry or controlling or even abusive person, or you discover that she isn't your really great woman and you have to break up with her. Okay, those are all things that might happen if you are successful in your dating skills. And in fact, just before I started to record this podcast, one of the listeners of this podcast sent me his list of things he fears that if he got into a relationship. His were that his wings would be clipped with regard to travel and work, that he would have mother-in-law issues. Wonder why he was afraid of that. That his weekends would be reduced to being spent in shopping malls. That he would become generally fused and not get to do all the cool stuff that he does right now. And that there would be sacrifices that would come up if he had children, or especially if he had to take care of somebody else's children, if he had to take care of stepchildren. Okay? So all of those things are things that can possibly happen if you're successful at getting into a relationship. Now, it would make sense not to apply skills that would lead to success if any of these things did happen. Okay? So, what usually happens with the men I work with because of these kind of fears is either they don't apply the skills that lead to success and just spend a lot of time isolated, or they unconsciously choose unavailable women so they don't have to feel smothered or trapped, or they let the woman set the tone of the relationship while they spend most of their time trying to figure out how to make her happy or how to avoid doing anything that will set her off. And they often become avoidant, dishonest, and unavailable in the relationship. And usually they stay way too long in the unhappy relationship hoping for a Greyhound divorce. And basically that's the end of a relationship that's caused by either her getting cancer, having an affair and leaving him for somebody else, or getting hit by a Greyhound bus. So that, of course, is not a good strategy for ending relationships. That's how nice guys usually do it. But imagine this. What if you applied the skills that would actually work to help you meet and date many women, and in the process of doing that, you decided you liked one of them enough to start seeing her on a regular basis, and from the beginning, you set the tone and took the lead instead of following her lead, and you consistently and consciously went as slowly as possible to find out as quickly as possible what her nature was, instead of tuning out all the yellow flags and red flags that you might see along the way. And you stay differentiated, doing things that are important to you and hanging out with your friends who are important to you. And you clearly let her know what you expected from her in the relationship. And you knew you could say no when you needed to. And you knew you could set boundaries and remove yourself when necessary. And you knew you could be a good ender if she turned out to not be your really great woman. And you knew you could handle whatever situation might arise. And you welcomed every challenge in the relationship as an opportunity for personal growth. So, what would you have to be afraid of? Why wouldn't you apply skills that would work, that might lead you to meet and date women who have the potential of blessing your life and lightening your load? So the premise of this series of podcasts is that it makes sense not to apply skills that would lead to success if the fruits of your success make your life worse than it is now, unless you knew you could stay conscious and handle whatever situation might arise, and that by doing so, you would grow as an individual, you would experience an adventure and abundance and miracles, and would in many ways conquer your fears of living conquer your fears by living a life of courage. And this would bless your life and the world around you. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a life worth living. You can handle success. Most of your fears are unconscious and irrational. Take a good look at them and challenge them. Some of your fears are real. Start practicing the things we've talked about in this podcast series, and you'll be able to handle whatever comes. Every time you think of challenging yourself in some way, every challenge that comes to you, when you start to experience fear or anxiety, when you find yourself avoiding dealing with something head on, tell yourself, no matter what happens, I will handle it. Keep repeating this to yourself, and then do it. That wraps up part 5 of this 6-part series of podcasts on overcoming the fear of success. Stay tuned for part 6, in which I'll lead you in a visualization to help your unconscious mind open up to the joys of success. This is Dr. Robert Glover. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this special Intention into Action podcast with Dr. Robert Glover. For a complete list of all of Dr. Glover's podcasts, including his Dating Essentials for Men Q&A podcasts, please visit drglover.com.